Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, and joining us this hour is the indomitable Kevin. Uncle Kevin is here, and we are going to play a little bit today. We're going to do Americana on the silver screen, the great old movies that are timeless classics. The Mona Lisa, at least, is framed in a museum in the Louvre in Paris, and you can go all the time to look at great art and great culture from times past. And a lot of times, the silver screen has been neglected and cast aside as new generations lose their appreciation for film talent, and it just kind of fades away into the wilderness, which is a terrible, terrible thing, because these were some of the greatest actors, singers, dancers, photographers, script writers the world has ever seen. No one can ever duplicate what they've done again, especially with what we would call antiquated equipment that they had back then, because you had to do it, you had to put it on film, and you had to develop it, and there's no computer telling you how to mix this and how to mix that to make the perfect shot. You had to know it. That's what made you an artist. You know, who carries a light meter nowadays, if there's even such a thing? They're probably all in the antique shop. And we think it's something that should be extolled. And it's just funny that Kevin and I both love the grand classic old films, and we share them about amongst each other and get us on board, and it is just a joy. I love watching them. It's just end of story that you can't help it. You just can't help it. So we're going to go over some of the great ones, some of the morals behind it, of them. Probably a nice way to get people involved into thinking independently, freely for themselves, to see great ideas introduced in old films, because history repeats, and we're going through all these things over and over and over and over and over again, and a lot of the answers, well, our grandparents and great-grandparents had them already. We just don't have them at our fingertips anymore because they've gone to the great beyond. Welcome, Kevin. It's good to have you aboard. We had lots of fun talking about these things. Now we'll do it with everybody listening instead of just the National Security Agency. And you have a very important announcement, I think, to make, too, that we should get on the table straight away as well.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's another great day in America. I always – that's my line, you know. Richard Mack, he was on our show yesterday, and he's the constitutional sheriff, and he's having a very important meeting in Virginia, the 30th, with other constitutional sheriffs, and he has reserved a meeting room, but he doesn't have enough money to pay for it right now. And I'm asking and begging, because this is so important. The sheriffs are just so important, for donations to help him pay for the room. You can contact him at cspoa.org and find out all the information there, the how to donate, or call 602-268-9268. That's 602-268-9268. And believe me, I'm going to donate. And when state comes to mandatory vaccinate you and your family, the Constitution is going to be there to stop them. What do you think about that there, George?
Indeed, indeed. Well, I start my show all the time with reform and posse, and you can't have a good posse without a good sheriff. So,
no, you can't.
Do support a good sheriff and a good country and a good way of life, and basically your bread and butter, past, present, and future, by helping these sheriffs remain in power. Because you lose that, that is your best defense against tyranny.
And it sure is.
If they can't do it for you, then when push comes to shove, you might have to do it yourself, and you'll be going against hell in a handbasket. So,
at least with the sheriffs, you got the law on your side. Like when there's a headline here I'm just looking at. Washington State House Committee passes bill to ban personal philosophical vaccine exemptions. So they want to take all your rights away. So when they come, you have a sheriff behind you. They can arrest, the sheriff can arrest those people that are coming to get you. So they're your protection. We got to support constitutional sheriffs as much as we possibly can. And we are winning this fight, but it's going to be a big, big struggle.
It is. And it's not in the mainstream news that you're winning, because it's propaganda organ, so they can, it's just like when you're at war, you never announce your own losses, you just try to say you did a lot on your enemy or something like that. So whatever victories we make, they're never going to concede to, even though they have little bits and pieces. But, you just keep hitting that wall until it comes tumbling down.
See, I think we're winning. I think we've already won. I don't know. What's your view on it?
Well, in Canada, it's a whole different. We got way more sheeple, I think, than you got. But maybe that's why the good Lord has me speak more in the United States. But it's hard fought. But there is a big resistance here in Canada to a lot of this stuff too. It's just Canadians, for some strange reason, are a whole lot more obedient, I guess, to Big Brother than their confreres in other lands. But you can't deny what's happening in Germany, and you can't deny what's happening in the United States. And this is just the warm-up act for the United States as it comes close to election time. This is going to be the make it, break it, or shake it period for whoever is trying to steal the country and its power base. And it's going to be the fight of a lifetime.
It is. Whether Trump wins or not, they're going to try to destroy America. You know.
Yes.
They're going to. Destroy the stock market, and the food supply is going to be broken up, and it's going to be a mess here, I think, whether he wins
or
not.
But we sweep it up. We get our sleeves rolled up. We get back to business, and then yesterday it's just something for a history book.
Yeah, put it in the history book. We won, and we're going to be part of it. That's the good thing about it, you know. Our names can go down in history as standing up to these tyrants, you know?
Well, that's what I always used to tease Joyce about sometimes. I said, Joyce, there's going to be another book written someday when all this is done. It's going to be called The Next Testament. There may be a few people that were associated with the good things like the Power Hour that might be in that book at that time.
I think so, too. And you know, my co-host,
no escaping
Danny... And my co-host Danny, he's just he's amazing when it comes to the Constitution. And when he gets on a roll, oh, there's nobody like him. He channels from God. Have you ever heard him talk about the Constitution?
Yes, indeed.
He puts shivers down my spine. It's just so beautiful, you know. And it makes you want to stand up, makes you want to fight. It makes you want to defeat these people. And we are going to defeat these people. There's no way these creeps are going to destroy the United States and Canada. I declare that right now.
That takes us to a good movie, Kevin.
Oh,
the
all right.
Ultimate movie. The ultimate movie of the lawman taking on the whole world of evil all by himself. And you know why? Because he's having trouble finding some deputies. And the actor is Gary Cooper, and the movie is High Noon.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, gosh. Yeah, High Noon.
And Western. The train's coming. It's bringing the bad guys. And you know what? We don't care, because we're going to stand up for what we believe in with the few that are around, and we're going to take on that evil and put it where it belongs, behind bars. And that's part of the great American equation in art, the film arts, is the fact that you can have a hero, you can have villains, but you can show value, determination, true guts to show that you can and you will persevere. And that's one of the big reasons why they want to destroy American culture, destroy American history. Because they don't want your children to learn that. They want you to learn how to cower in fear. And we can't have that. And there's a good thing to let your children have a film night and you watch High Noon. and see what it was. Another old TV show I found, they took it off the internet really fast after that, you know, and I couldn't even understand why. I never heard of it before. It was called Colt 45. And a Colt salesman goes around selling the first single action armies. And it was a, you know, it was really cool kind of show, you know. And then there's the anti-gun people in the crowd saying, oh, that's awful, you know, selling guns and all this sort of thing. But, you know, it was another good piece of Americana, good American ingenuity and know-how. God created man. Colt made them equal. The show showed that. And you know what it ended with? The Lord's Prayer.
Oh,
and that's probably why it was pulled.
Oh, that's the Lord's
Prayer. They said
that.
The Lord's Prayer at the end of the TV show on national television way back when in the 50s on, you know, this show. There was a movie as well called Colt 45. And, you know, it I guess was par for the course back then, the old Westerns and such. But I appreciate that because that was the freedom that built America. That was the freedom that got you to be a good, godly person in a constitutional republic and maintain that as sugar and spice and everything nice.
Were you in Canada all your life when watching these shows?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, we're Siamese twins.
America. You got American
shows. No, we're Siamese twins,
man.
We're Siamese twins. That's, you know, American television would dominate Canadian television overwhelmingly. Like we had our CBC and a couple of small organs back then where you could watch some, you know, rather cheesy productions here or there, but they were nothing compared to. American movies were all around the world. It was really global culture for Hollywood and the power they had to transcend all borders with the movies. And, you know, still pretty much today that's the case as well. But the quality is, it's just all watered down, computer-generated.
Computer-generated crap, you know?
Crap. Sums it up in one word.
Storylines are
cheesy.
Slim,
mm-hmm.
Thin, not written. You know, the new movies aren't written well today, in my opinion. You know, they rely on CGI to take over and, you know, run the movie. And I guess the kids love that, but I know I don't love it, you know. I love a good storyline. I love great writing. The greatest, one of the best written movies, I don't know if you're familiar with it, that I thought of was Wuthering Heights. Are you familiar with Wuthering Heights?
No, I'm not.
Well, it's just about it's Heathcliff and it's just a stable boy. He loves this lady and they grow up going together and she goes for the rich man and he goes away to build his fortune and he comes back and treats her terrible because he's rich and nuts and gets a vengeance on it. But that's one of the best written movies on the planet, starring Laurence Olivier.
Oh, you can't go wrong with him.
One of the greatest actors that ever lived on the planet, you know?
Indeed, indeed. And that's the big thing about these people is they were an era unto themselves. If we could find one or two, three people like that today to compete back then, with even in you know actors that fell off the table because they weren't as great are still far superior to most we have today, and there's just no doubt about it. I know for that, you know, one of my favorites you were asking me about was The African Queen, and you know that's one movie that you know I would be playing these in school really because that you know the lessons
they're a national treasure.
They are a national treasure.
I think The African Queen is in the Library of Congress, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So I look at it as, you know, it would be almost like if you're going to do a course for marriage or something like that on how to stick together or, you know, what to find a value, like I was teasing you before. I think if they met each other socially before, you know, because of her highbrow attitudes and him being a little closer to leather, you know, she'd have looked at him, turned up her nose, turned around and walked away, and he'd spit on the floor. And,
that's right.
That's Katharine Hepburn and Humphrey Bogart, by the way.
And in the writing, and when they're in the boat, you know, it's Mr. and Mrs. Mr. Allnut, may I have your real name? What is your real name, Mr. Allnut? You know? Oh, it's Charlie. You know, and that little dynamic between the two is just priceless, you know?
Indeed, indeed. And, you know, he's smoking and drinking and she's not. And, you know, they're completely different, but they learn to have a camaraderie between each other, realize that they both have to struggle to achieve their objective to get the African queen.
Yeah, along. Down the river. Yeah, they had to get past the fort that was loaded with guns. And so they were scheming and we got to get down here or we're going to be dead. So they both had to work together. They got past the African queen. They went down to – they got into swamps. They said you can never get – what was that lake that they were supposed to be getting to? Do you remember what the lake was?
Oh, let me see here. Was it Tanganyika? That was a big African lake that comes to mind.
Yep, Tanganyika.
Unless I'm wrong.
He had powder in his oxygen tanks in his boat, and they decided we're going to go down to Tanganyika and blow up the Uganga boat down there. And sure enough, that's what they worked for. They got caught in the swamps. He got out of the boat, pulled the boat, got eaten up by leeches. One of the when he comes out of the boat and he's full of leeches, and that was really gave me the shivers right now just thinking about it, you know?
Well, it helps you understand great risk that people had. There's no cell phones back then, too, young people. They didn't even have a radio or anything like that. So you are on your own in the middle of nowhere all by yourself, and it's make it, break it, or shake it. And this is the quality of the pioneer spirit that built your country and mine. I used to tease in the old days, too, when we had trouble with Quebec wanting to separate and a division placed by, you know, whatever communists were doing that to get the French to hate the English or vice versa and whatever, to say, you know what you do is you take the French kids and the English kids and you go up river a long way and you put them in a canoe and you make them get back on their own.
That is
and you got to work it
that
out.
That is correct.
You got to work together like the Scot, the Indian, the Frenchman, and the Englishman, and whoever else was around to get the furs to market. And you're in the middle of nowhere, and it's what you do together that's going to make and build this country just the way that those two actors did it on the river to get their boat to the lake and take out the German ship. And so whatever differences you have or you thought you had, it doesn't matter anymore. Because it's teamwork. You got to survive. And it's
Absolutely.
Either you fail or you survive. And we look at a divided America, too. It's the same answer for you, too, is if you're in a place together and you got two opposing sides, whether it be Democrat, Republican, or someone who's black or white, really doesn't matter. You have a common enemy. The common enemy is whatever danger you're facing. And you're going to have to team up together and work together. And when you spill blood, it's not to spill the other person's blood. It's to spill your blood to save the person that's with you.
That is correct.
And that's how you build nations.
Yeah, back in those days, it was self-sufficient. Charlie, he could do anything. I mean, how many times did his motor broke down Charlie fixed it. And then he gets down into the lake. Oh, they need a torpedo. Kate says, don't we need a torpedo? We could blow up this thing? And Charlie goes, yeah, torpedo. And he makes two torpedoes, sticks them out of the front of the boat, and goes out to blow up the German ship. You know, we don't have that today.
No.
People can't do things today.
That was that was what it was. And that's why we've got what we've got is you had millions of people like that, that were resourceful and taking calculated risks. And we do have a common enemy, too. The common enemy is the people who are trying to take our country apart and destroy it, and or all our respective countries. So there's nothing wrong with us banding together. That's why they invented a virus over any other type of thing, is they want to divide us because they know if we get together and concentrate on the common enemy, we can defeat them hands down. It's hardly even a contest. And by making us afraid of each other, well, they think they won the war for that. But the hell with that. I don't care. You drop to the street and, you know, somebody's got to come and save your life. I don't give two craps about this COVID crap. I jump on top of you and do whatever I got to do to save your life. And
right.
You know, maybe when you wake up, you might appreciate that. Whoever you were and whatever you were is not going to matter to me. And this is all part and parcel of it, and that's why Americana, the movies, and the great stories are just so important for this, because you know, it builds up your self-esteem and tears theirs down, because they can't do it to you anymore. Even when they captured them, right? They're on the boat. They're going to execute them.
Oh,
what did they ask?
Defiant,
right?
They are defiant to the end.
Yeah, the
what,
end
did, what did they ask? Yeah, we want to get married. We want to get married. We're in love. And the captain goes, you know, this is a strange request. And he goes, well, that's our last request. You said we got one last request. We want to be married. And that's what saved their life. They were just doing the ceremony, and the torpedoes hit the boat and blow it up. What a wonderful, wonderful movie that was.
Indeed.
And I highly recommend it for everybody to watch. The cinematic filming was just beautiful. Story, the writing, everything was top notch. Highly recommend it.
And that's what you know, why these are just such jewels. And I can see them many, many times, because you know, you pick out new things at different times, but it's just the fundamental of the story is just so overwhelming. It fills your heart with joy, it fills your soul with joy. And, you know, that was one of my favorites. The love stories they made back then were amazing. The dance classics, you know, nobody moved their feet.
Oh, don't talk about dance classics to me. I am a huge Fred Astaire fan. Ginger Rogers, Fred Astaire movies, Top Hat. Oh, my gosh, the hours and hours and hours that they put to get, you know, practice on it. Ginger Rogers would tell a story about how she danced so much her feet would bleed, you know. And Fred Astaire, he was a taskmaster, you know. He was a perfection. He kept on going until they got it right. And she sort of resented that a little bit, you know. That's good enough. No, it's not good enough. Let's get it done.
Indeed, and boy, did they get it done.
Boy, were they beautiful? Were they a beautiful couple or what?
Indeed, indeed. And you're beautiful, too, because you come to Power Hour Nation. We'll be back on the other side with Uncle Kevin and go back memory lane. Look out. Here we come.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said anybody who's got mouth must use whitener toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a vitamin toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
If you eat your manna food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada. Joining us this hour is Uncle Kevin, and we're going down memory lane, going to that old drive-in, the old movie theater, and maybe they're haunted now if they still exist, left to go into disrepair, to fall apart, to be ignored, turned into a condominium, but we still have the films. They're all around, and Uncle Kevin has collected a plethora of films. He's worked very, very, very hard to make sure that he's got his fair share. And that's a good thing, because I look at it as it's a part of a good, healthy education system on morals and values, the American way. And, you know, off the air we were talking about one of my other classic favorites was The Sand Pebbles with Steve McQueen, where they're up one of those river patrol boats on the Yangtze River back in the good old days in the 20s, and you have a very dysfunctional Chinese government, and you're there to sort of look after American lives and property, and you're up against a rock and a hard place in a tiny little boat with a couple of few pop guns, and you have to deal with just untold things, and how Steve McQueen just shows you that rugged individualism that was Americana, that you're faithful to your flag, you're faithful to your ship, you're faithful to a code of honor, and you're faithful to your friends and the people around you, even though many times that sort of faith means you got to twist and bend the rules a little bit. And, you know, so turning the blind eye maybe to your buddy going ashore for his R&R, or in the, you know, sad part of it was one of his Chinese associates was captured by the enemy, and they were going to murder him. Well, they were murdering him right before the
ship
arrived.
They were torturing him right on the beach. Yeah, right on the beach. They were slicing him up with machetes. It was
they
brutal.
They call that the death of a thousand slices, so they don't want to kill you till the last one. So they don't want to create an international incident, but the man is his friend, and he's not going to let him suffer. And he's ordered not to shoot, to put him out of his misery. And Steve McQueen picks up the rifle and shoots anyway, and then a big siege happens that is a psychological warfare 101 type thing that they were probably not familiar with or expecting, but it was a matter of honor to save your friend from this horrible, horrible death. And just
sure
whatever the consequences are, what was it, Admiral Farragut? Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead.
Full speed ahead, yeah.
He did it. And, you know, rescuing the Christian missionaries who were stranded up there, who don't really want to go,
yeah.
and trying to be a force of good. These are
he
morals.
He sacrificed his life.
Yes. Character-building exercises.
Yeah, he sacrificed his life to save those people at the end of the movie. He didn't have to. He could have went. But he stayed behind so they could have a little bit of time to escape. And he lost his life at the end of the movie.
Indeed, indeed. And, you know, we heard that in church sometimes about a certain individual who sacrificed his life for the benefit of humanity, too. So, you know, these are things that they want to rip from us so that we will just stay in our own little mouse hole and shiver, as opposed to standing firm, standing for what we believe in. And this is something to teach your children. This is something to share with your friends, you know, because we're now getting two generations removed from those days. It's hard to believe. That movie was out in 1966. And, you know, another one that was we talked about a couple times was the Treasure of Sierra Madre and, the greed, you know, that you're going for gold and, you know, the terrible things that overwhelm people. And, you know, Humphrey Bogart plays a good mad villain in this movie. But, you know, just to see what you had, all the gold in the world before you got started, in a way, you had these compadres of yours that were more valuable than the gold, really. I've always said a good friend is far more valuable than $1 million when $1 million meant something. And, you know, now with inflation, it's maybe 10 or 20. But a good friend's going to pull you out of the drink when you fall in it. The money's
sure
just going to weigh you down.
That was directed by John Huston, starring Humphrey Bogart as Fred C. Dobbs, Walter Huston, Tim Holt, and Bob Curtin, and Bruce Bennett. And that won a lot of awards. The Academy Award for Best Director that year went for John Huston, which was the son of Walter Huston. And Walter Huston won the Best Supporting Actor that year. And John Huston won the Best Adapted Screenplay for that year. And John Huston and Walter Huston got, I don't know if you know this before, they got in a big fight on the scene. Do you know what that big fight was about?
No.
John Huston, he was the director. His dad was his dad. His dad had false teeth. And John told Walter, you can't play this minor with your teeth. You have to take your teeth out for you to play this part because you're just an old hillbilly minor it doesn't work when it doesn't work. And at that time, Walter Huston still thought he was a good looking guy, you know, a leading man. And, John Huston won and he, took out his teeth. And for him taking out his teeth, he won the Oscar for the Best Supporting Actor, that year.
See, right on. And as I see here, he was also a Canadian actor. So we are Siamese twins. But
and do you remember when Fred C. Dobbs loses his life with the with those Mexican bandits? He gets hit by the machete.
Mm-hmm.
They originally had in the movie that his head rolled out. He chopped off Fred C. Dobbs' head and it rolled out down the pathway. But they thought that was too gruesome, so they took it out. You just see him getting chopped behind the horse. You didn't see any blood or anything like that. But I thought I'd just throw that in for you.
Well, that was better for the whole movie genre was the graphic violence was implied more than personified.
Correct.
And that made it a much more family-oriented type of thing where you just don't get this bloodlust that they have in movies today. And, you know, especially the horror genre or something. But, you know, what can
what
you say?
What a beautiful movie. I mean, the cinematography was just beautiful. The Sierra Madre Mountains, them building up that gold mine, how hard they had to work. Man, hours and hours and hours they put in just to build the sleuth and everything, you know? And yeah. then the Federales come, and then the fake Federales come, where that bandit goes. Fred C. Dobb says, "Where's your badge? You don't have a badge." And he goes, "Badges? We don't need no badges." That famous line. And then they start shooting at each other. You know?
Indeed, indeed. That is one of the all-time great ones too. We don't need no stinking badges.
I know. They don't write lines like that anymore. You know?
But that is a reality. Because the ultimate power or law of the universe is might makes right. And that's why you got the Second Amendment. And that's probably another reason why they want to get rid of the whole concept of rustic individualism, especially in the old films, because frequently the rustic individual is armed with a rifle or a pistol or something.
Yeah.
And they have the might to make right in their hands to better society overall, and that sometimes even the bandidos are masked as officials and authority and the like as well, and they're still working for the dark side. And it's the other side that has to persevere and win, and sometimes a little bit of sacrifice in that regard. So, you know, how can you go wrong with that style? At all. How big is your collection, and how have you got to this point of expertise as an aficionado of old films?
Well, my mother and my dad were big movie lovers, and they took me and my sister to the drive-in movies about twice a month when we were kids. My mom liked her dramas and my love stories, and my dad loved westerns, John Wayne, and war movies. But it was funny, my dad was in World War II, and he would never talk about his experience in the war. But I have to say this about my dad, because I'm proud as punch about him. My dad was a code breaker during the war and got a citation from the president for breaking the code that led to the shooting down of Yamamoto's plane, killing him.
Oh, wow.
How about that, huh?
Indeed, indeed.
Indeed. Was that cool? And he said our code breaking team was so good when the Japanese army, you know, because they changed their code so often. We knew it better than they knew it, you know. So once we got a hold of it, we could understand them way better and use it. Before they were able to do it. That's how advanced their company was, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite the story.
Cool. Yeah, cool
they
story.
They made a movie about cool that, too.
But they didn't contact my dad about that, you know?
Yeah, sometimes the real Magilla gets forgotten in the mist.
Yeah. Well, the thing that got me into old movies, this is the beginning of my exploits. I have 25,000 movies. And I figured it out. To have 25,000 movies, I'd have to burn 3.5 movies every day for 20 years to get 25,000 movies. So I was compelled. I don't know, possessed, compelled. What would you call something like that?
An archivist for the future. But you know, somebody's got to do it. Things get lost through time, and they're everywhere. And then as it goes by, they're neglected, forgotten, and they fall by the wayside. And it's lost, and it can never be recovered again. And the fact that there are people who are dedicated to preserve and keep history and such, this is very, very important. I said that about the Power Hour, too. There was a radio station in California that archived all the radio shows, and they even have about an 8-year supply of Power Hour with Joyce They only had 2 out of the 3 hours because that's all they carried. But they have an archivist full-time working to keep all these words available to you. And, you know, I didn't hesitate to recommend to people to go there and download them and keep them on a hard drive somewhere, because maybe 100 years from now somebody's going to find this hard drive somewhere and our words will not be lost. And they'll start to understand that maybe the official history is a few degrees off course, maybe even more than that. And they'll hear what people who were alive in their day had to think and reason about the issues we face. And that might be quite a liberation for them down the road. And that's why it's so important to have this, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, what got me into it, my wife and I loved old movies, and we watched Turner Classic Movies. This was the beginning of it. I don't know how many, 20, 25 years ago or whatever it was like that. And we watched Turner Classic Movies. We loved Robert Osborne. Were you familiar with Robert Osborne?
No.
Oh, he was the host that was at 8 o'clock. He knew all the info about every movie. He'd come on and he'd give you a little synopsis of the movie, you know, a 2-minute synopsis before the movie and after the movie. And it made the movie so much better, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he comes on and he's saying, next month we'll be premiering the 1924 movie Greed, written and directed by Erich von Stroheim. And me and my wife loved Erich von Stroheim. He was an actor and a director, and he was just very unique. And he had a good reputation of going over budget with movies. But all his movies were good, and they made money. But the studio, so they hired him, and the studio was outraged when he came back with a 10-hour and 5-minute movie, which he planned to show over 2 days. The studio immediately fired him and cut his movie down to 2 hours and 20 minutes. And Robert said, for the last 2 years, we have combed the world looking for the missing films. And we found 1 hour and 40 minutes of it. So that put the movie up to 4 hours and 5 minutes. And they were going to premiere it next month. Me and my wife did not like silent films, but we trusted Robert Osborne's opinion. So we both said, all right, let's watch it. And we watched it, and we both loved it. And we wish we could have seen the original 10-hour movies, because I think only about a half a dozen people had seen that original 10-hour movie. Gorgeous movie, and it was about greed. It was about greed. It was wonderful.
Oh, indeed. And we used to have a TV show here on one of our independent channels in Toronto, TVO, Television Ontario, with L.W. Yost, Saturday Night at the Movies. And he would do the same sort of thing. And it was just a classic bit of good entertainment. And, you know, it's a shame there really wasn't anything to replace it when he retired. And, you know, one of the little snippets, too, was when they did the Bridge Over the River Kwai. It was a friend of mine. Her mother worked for the doctor who was the doctor at the camp.
Are you kidding me? Really?
And, yeah, and she was his secretary when he came back. And she wrote he wrote a book. And it was published, I think they made like about 100 copies. It's highly technical. It's more in universities and special collection libraries. But my friend had one of the original drafts. And, you know, she was always secretive about that. She never really told me too much about what's in it. And it's a shame, too, because the truth is in there. And, you know, one of the big truths that she did tell me was, you know, how the Japanese murdered the nurses on the way back to Japan. They raped them and threw them overboard. And for a lot of the families that lost their kin in this war, they may never have known what happened to their
right.
family. And so I look at it as, you know, it's very important that those stories get out.
And, yeah, not be lost by time.
And,
yeah, the raping. Did you see the documentary, The Raping of Nanping by the Japanese?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about
it. My kid bought me the book. And then I saw the documentary, and the woman who wrote the book killed herself because it was too much.
And I think 20% of the Japanese army people that were involved in the raping, it was so brutal, so nasty, so mean, so sick, that I think 10 to 20% of the Japanese killed themselves because they couldn't live with themselves for what they did. They would take people, put them in old tires and build them up to high. They make them climb in there, throw gasoline in and light them on fire when they were alive, or rape them rape the ladies till they die. It was horrendous, horrendous. But that cannot be lost.
In my opinion, no. Because what was required to save that book is because you couldn't, do this stuff, right? You're a prisoner of war. So he would do was he'd write on whatever bits and pieces he could write on, and he had to use human blood for ink. And they would take this paper or whatever they had to write on, and they would take it to the cemetery, and the Japanese were a little bit afraid to go into the cemeteries. They thought it was like bad spirits in there or something like that. So they let them go in there alone, and they had a stash place in there that they put it away to save it for the end of the war. And then he was able to retrieve all his notes later and write the book. And a lot of it is technical because he was a specialist in Asian diseases and using improvised surgical instruments in remote places. So you couldn't have a better camp doctor than this guy.
Wow.
And he's very well remembered in Australia and a lot in Africa, because you're in the middle of nowhere and, you might have had to make stuff out of whatever was handy to make a surgical instrument to use something, and there is nobody else. You're the only surgeon. So it's going to have to be done. And so there's a famous painting of him in the Australian War Museum amputating someone's leg. And he's just like, again, you're forgotten, but it was just good that the book is out there, the stories are out there, that when we lost at Hong Kong, that was another horrific battle. After the surrender, the Japanese soldiers came in to rape the nurses and kill the prisoners. So the nurses offered their bodies to save the wounded so that they could try to remove, hide, or protect the wounded while the Japanese soldiers were occupied somewhere else with the nurses. And, you just look at the level of determination of these women and how strong and courageous that they had to be to do this, have what I call the ultimate code of honor, to lay down your chastity and your life for another human being or group of human beings. And
you can't get any better than that.
We don't care to preserve that. And remember it, eulogize it, it's hard to understand. It really is. And we were all allies in that era, and we went to the same prison camps. We were in we might have fought in different places, but we were all there, and that can't be forgotten. It really can't, because the level of treachery was just so overwhelming. So even if you just see it in a film form to catch up a little bit, that you become familiar and aware of these issues and what it means. It's very, very important. The irony, of this doctor is when they were they wouldn't take him in the Canadian Army because he was Jewish. So he joined the British Army. And he had to ship out, and he was going to go with four other doctors, and they assigned them to a tanker. Well, three of the other doctors said, well, we're not going to go on a tanker. It's a death trap. And so he went on the tanker. He got through, and the other ship was torpedoed, and the other three doctors were killed.
Wow. Can you get any better than Ingrid Bergman as Maria? In the Ermi,
it doesn't matter what Ingrid Bergman does, you can't get any better.
Casablanca, Beautiful, For Whom the Bell Tolled. I think she was 17 in that movie, I think.
But
she was gorgeous.
I cheated. I watched that one last night. And,
with Gary Cooper. Robert, I think his name was Robert, and he was the explosives expert, right?
Yeah, he was intelligence. Unfortunately, he was fighting for the communists.
He was.
The Republican side.
Those two, Gary Cooper and Ingrid Bergman, are probably the two best people that the camera loves. The camera loves those two people like no other people that I know of. Gary Cooper looks stunning.
Well, he's just a great actor. You go through his filmography, you're not going to do yourself any harm finding, many, many great films that he did. And the beauty of it is, because they're older films, they don't have much trouble with set design, costumes, because a lot of this stuff is still around. So the way they dress, the way they move, the way they act, what's around them is very, very original. And so that makes it a great history lesson. And it was a brutal war. The Spanish Civil War was a horrible, brutal war. And, I'm reading a book on that about the great writers who were in there. I found it by accident. I didn't know it was around. It was called Cold Warriors, Writers Who Waged the Literary Cold War. And I was thinking it was more that it was a propaganda. Oh, these guys were in the battlefield. Ernest Hemingway was on the front lines.
He was. He wrote that. Didn't he write that story about him in the Spanish-American War?
Well, the Spanish Civil War. Yeah.
Civil War.
George Orwell was shot in the neck. They were right on the front lines. We're on the front lines, too.
And George Orwell, we got to go for some R&R.
The time
Orwell
is up.
Yeah.
Yes. So thanks for coming out. Thanks for being here, Uncle Kevin. And we'll probably have to do this again because there's a million movies that need to be talked about, idolized, eulogized, and is shared among friends. And this is where you're at, Power Hour Nation, among friends. Glad you're here. See you next time.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.